Do you know what you want for Christmas?
A cute toy.
No, I just want my family back.
That's what I want for Christmas.
We'll see what Santa can do, okay?
It's Christmas, so be of good cheer.
Merry Christmas.
Tis the season to watch telly on Channel 4. Stream now.
All right, everybody. Today, we're busting some beauty myths. I've got Amy from Sweet Spot Medi Spa here to spill the truth about Botox and fillers. So let's be real. We've all heard the rumors. You'll look frozen. It's addictive. It's only for people over 40. Does that sound familiar? Well, Amy is here to set the record straight. She is the queen of natural results, the woman who helps people look refreshed, not redone. And today we're diving into what's fact, what's fiction, and what you actually need to know before you ever pick up that syringe. So grab your coffee, settle in, and let's bust some myths about Botox and fillers. Quick shout out to Dr. Bradley Nelson and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. And to our audience, please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. Amy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good. It's so good to see you again.
Yes.
To the audience, if you haven't checked out our latest episodes, please go back and listen to those because we dive into these topics on a way deeper level. But first, we're going to debunk some myths on this episode. So, Amy, let's start with the basics. What is the biggest myth that you hear about Botox and fillers?
I would say it's a little different for each category. So if we're talking about Botox, one of the myths that I hear frequently in my spa is if I get Botox, will I need more or less as I get older? And a lot of people believe that if they do Botox for a couple of years, that that'll set them for life and that they won't have to get it later on in life. Well, we know we age every day. So there's no way of stopping that. So once you start the Botox journey, you're going to have to continue to do it. Another myth with Botox is if I get the Botox and I look great and I stop using it, is it going to make my face worse because I did use it? And that's not the case. Again, we age every day. So if you've been using Botox for a couple of years and then you all of a sudden stop, you've been used to your face looking really refreshed and very youthful and just beautiful. But when you stop the Botox and all those wrinkles start to come back, those muscles seem to start working again and creasing the tissue. So it's not that it's worse because you did Botox. It's just you got used to it. Some of the myths with filler, I would say, is one and done. Again, this is not the case. As we get older, we lose muscle mass. We have fat pads that actually lose their elasticity held by collagen, and so they fall. And a lot of times I hear my clients say, my face is falling, help me fix it. But one of the misconceptions is once you get filler, again, I mean, you're going to always need filler to help lift that face, unless you get a facelift, of course. So I think people just feel like it's a one and done, and it absolutely is not.
I think they want it to be one and done. Like our culture currently is like quick fix. And I get that. It's like you get hair extensions and you take them out and you're like, oh my God, my hair is thinning. But really it's like, no, you were just used to seeing this like luscious thick hair. And all of a sudden you're seeing your natural, your hair. So yeah, it's deceiving. So just curious, how long does one injection or how long does Botox and filler last before you have to get it redone? And what happens to it?
Yeah, good question. So with Botox or any of the neurotoxins, they last anywhere from 2 to 5 months. Now, typically when someone comes in and they've never tried it before, we'll say you'll get about 3 to 4 months out of this treatment. What happens is when the product is injected into the muscle, it actually stops that transmission of muscular movement. And because of that, then you don't have the ability to crease your muscles. We're younger and we crease our muscles, they bounce right back because we have a lot of elastin and collagen in our tissue. Yeah. But as we age, we start aging the end of our 20s and it continues and continues. We really start to notice it more in our 40s. And so by getting that Botox, it does stop that muscle from creasing, but again, it wears off. And everyone's different. I know some clients of mine that are really into working out in good shape, they may not get but maybe 2 months out of their treatment because the metabolism is a little bit more intense than,
Oh
say,
my God,
like.
I would need it weekly then. My metabolism just burns through
Oh,
everything.
really? I always say I don't wear off. I don't work out because I don't want my Botox to wear off. That's my excuse. I don't go to the gym because I'm working on my Botox right now. So,
Hey, you gotta pick and choose. You gotta weigh
yeah,
it,
right, exactly. But I found that there's a new product out. It's been on the market for about 2 years. It's called Daxxify, and it's made differently than the other neurotoxins. It has a peptide in it versus albumin. And because of that, we have seen like a natural glow in the skin from it. And I've just seen in my spa that my clients that work out, I have this client, she's in her 70s and she is like an aerobic like queen. She teaches, she's always going. She actually was hired by Peloton to be one of their mature women to be the Peloton instructor. She is just goes. And Daxxify works great for her. She used to get 2 months out of Botox and she can get 5 months out of Daxxify. So that's, everyone's different. Everyone's metabolism's different. Everyone takes it differently. As far as filler, there's several fillers on the market and they're all made a little bit differently. So if you're looking for something that lasts a long time, it's based on how much you get put in the area in the, like if you get your cheeks treated, if you get more filler in your cheeks, it's going to last a little longer. But there's some products that can last up to 2 years. They don't say it on the, like the research doesn't show it, but I've seen it over and over and over that these products can last a little bit longer. There is another product that can last up to 5 years. So it just depends on what you're willing to pay and if you want that longevity or not. Some people are like, no, I just want like a year's worth and then to see where, what I need to do. And then once they get comfortable with the filler, then they'll ask for the longer lasting filler.
That makes sense. And this is a big one. Like I've seen it. Like I've seen faces that look frozen, and I've heard people say, "I don't want to get Botox because I don't want to look like a doll." How has the industry changed over these years when it comes to achieving more of a natural, subtle result? Because that's what you're known for.
Right. Yeah. So I believe that, years ago when Botox first came out, it was a taboo. Oh my goodness, don't tell my girlfriends I'm getting Botox. I don't want them to know. Definitely don't tell
Right.
my husband. Don't tell my parents. They cannot know. And it was more of an older, like a 40s, 50s age at that time. And Botox came out in about 2002. And that's when people started saying, wow, this stuff is really working. People were afraid to use it because it was a toxin,
Yeah.
botulism. And just, as it's been in the market longer and longer and longer, people are more acceptable to it and more comfortable with getting the treatments. So, now I see the trend younger women in their 20s, where
Wow.
I'd say probably about 8 years ago when I started doing this, it was like the 40s, 50s. Now I'm seeing younger and younger, 30s, 20s. And I have the older women come to me and say, why are these young girls getting their Botox at this age?
Just thinking it, just
So
thinking it.
young.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason they are because they know I don't know what it's TikTok or what it is, but they know that if they start now, they prevent what we call static lines. Static lines are when you've just creased the tissue over time, it leaves an indention. Or like you can see like little fine
So like
lines in your
here
skin.
between my okay,
Yeah.
interesting.
So if you start in your 20s, when you start to lose collagen naturally, then you are going to look so much more youthful in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, if you keep up with that. Now, if you start in your 20s and you stop, then you're kind of like having to play catch up when you start it back up. But I also talk to my young, I won't say just ladies, because men too. I have a lot of younger men, And they say, I know what my mom and dad look like now, and I want to prevent that. So that's another reason we see a lot of younger people coming in to get these treatments.
Wow. So Botox can actually prevent wrinkles if you're starting earlier in life. So what's the
Absolutely.
youngest that you can begin?
Well, we always go by what research and the FDA has approved. So, 18, I mean, that's really the youngest. I believe that's the studies are at 18 and older. But I hardly ever get any 18-year-olds. It's mainly like 20s, mid-20s. Yeah. And it could be like a financial thing too, like when you're 18, you don't have a lot of money to spend on Botox and fillers. So it could be that, but I do see some in their mid-20s come in, and they don't want a lot. They don't want their whole face frozen. They just want to look natural and maintain that youthful appearance and keep those lines down. So,
Wow.
yeah.
So, what are some areas that people realize, like, don't realize that Botox can actually treat?
Oh, yes. So one of the things that clients usually are like surprised when I talk to them is you can treat TMJ. So any grinding, jaw pain, headaches, you can actually use Botox in the masseters here and in the temporalis up here to weaken that muscle so that you don't have that bite down, that grind, that chew, and it can relieve a lot of tension in the neck as well.
Is there
Another
any other? Oh, go ahead. No, keep going.
There is another area, a hyperhidrosis. It's when you have profuse sweating. We see women and men come in to get their underarms treated with Botox. It takes a little bit longer to kick in than, say, in the face, but it lasts longer too. So we'll have like people that have a lot of sweating under the arms that have an event they want to go to, or even a wedding, they don't want to sweat in their wedding clothes. They'll come in and they'll get a treatment about a month or two before their event, and that will last them anywhere from 6 to 9 months.
Oh wow, interesting. I wish I would have known that when I was in my 20s. I was like sweating all over the place. I remember having those sweat marks on some different materials of clothing, and I just sweat a lot. And yeah, I've actually heard that people getting their underarms Botoxed, and yeah, I've always wanted to ask someone about that. So that's interesting.
Yeah. And there's also, have you heard of Barbie Botox? Barbie Botox. So Barbie Botox is just kind of a word. It's really Botox in the trapezius muscle here. So by injecting this muscle, it will help release tension. And we have clients that come in that have also headaches as well. Not just from grinding, but also tension headaches that run down. So we will inject their the area here on top of their shoulder to release that muscle in the trapezius and just give them a little relief.
Wow. I mean, who doesn't have tight shoulders these days?
Right? You just can't go
Wow.
overboard with the dosing because then they won't be able to raise their arms. You have to
Talk
be really
about frozen
careful.
shoulder. That's
Yeah.
an actual frozen shoulder.
That's an actual
That's an
frozen.
actual frozen. So, this is another one. So, can you still make natural expressions after getting treatments and fillers done? Because that's another misconception. And that's something that's out there is like people say that you can't move your face anymore after you get treatments done.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
that's
a good
a
question. So, I have this question asked all the time. What I say to clients that come in and say, just shoot me up, just shoot me up. I'll say, well, I'm not going to make you look like a deer in headlights
Yeah.
because that's not natural. And I'll have some clients that want this area of their forehead so treated so much that I call it an ice skating rink. I said, okay, do you want a little movement or do you want an ice skating rink? And I'm always like, you want a little movement because you want your kids to know that you mean business if they say something that
Yeah.
they're not supposed to say. You got to have a little movement. So yeah, I do have some people think that they need their whole face frozen, and I discourage it because again, it's just not natural. It's all based on dosing and where it's placed. So if we do really high doses, we can freeze your face if you want it. I won't do it, but that's possible. If we just do some medium to just therapeutic dosing, not overboard, then we can make you still look natural and have those expressions. Now, with filler, they have come out with filler lines that actually move with your expression, and it's called expressive technology. So it's really nice if you pick the right filler and it's placed in the right place, in the face or wherever you have it injected, it will move with you as you express. So you don't see little blobs of filler, like a mound over here and a mound over here when you smile. It just goes with the flow.
Okay, that makes sense. So, how important is it to choose the right injector or medical spa?
It's very important. Because I always say you need to have the right injector, the right med, the right dose, the right place, and the right education pre and post treatment. You got to know all of those things. So I always say do your research, make sure you go to a spa or, a plastic surgeon's office, wherever. Make sure that they have great reviews, that they are board certified, and that they have experience. So I tell my clients all the time to make sure that that's who they look. I'll have clients that they visit down in South Florida all the time for vacation and holidays and see their grandparents that are snowbirds. And they will come to our spa because they may not have a place up where they live up north. So we get a lot of vacationers. And I always say, when you go back up north, this is what you need to look for. And those three things is, experience, are they board certified, and how are their reviews?
Beautiful. What's the deal with migration? Is this common, or is this just a social media hype? And can you tell us what that means?
Yeah, so first of all, let me ask you, how did you know about migration? Have you?
Migration showed up in my list of questions to ask about Botox and filler. And so
Oh,
I don't
okay.
even know what it is, but
Oh,
it
okay.
said our audience would like to hear more about it. So yeah, it just
Yeah.
showed up as a question.
Yeah, that's a good question because that's kind of a buzzword right now is migration on social media. So what that is, I mean, you can have migration with Botox, but we're going to talk about filler right now. Migration with filler is when you place the filler in an area. Say you have your lips in, done. If you have injections in your lips to enhance them, over time, the filler, which is hyaluronic acid, can migrate. It can move up to the lip. It can move. So you might see someone that has full lips, but they look kind of full above the lip. And that could be from migration. Not always, but it could be. And that can happen. There were studies with, I think it was like with the MRI, CAT scan, they did some studies on x-raying and just to see if they could see any migration with filler and with calcium, like with Radius, which is a calcium-like product that shows up really well. And they did see that over years of injections, that there was product that did migrate in other areas of the face. And there were a lot of people that were scared about that. But if we think about it, the product that we're using is really natural. It's hyaluronic acid. We have that in our own body. And what our body is just doing is just holding that in an area to help support and lift the face. So I don't believe that that's something to be concerned about. But there are always risks with every single treatment that we do. You just need to be aware of it and just be, have be aware and have the consent. That you feel comfortable with the provider you're with, and just have a really good relationship with your provider. So if something is strange, something is weird, you can call them immediately and they can address that. That's really important as well.
So another thing I've seen lately is that, like, especially in the lips, like you almost see like a second line developing, and it looks like there's like a line, like a really thick lip line. Does that mean that the injection was done incorrectly, or is that an example of the migration?
So where is the line you're describing? Is it above the
Yeah,
line?
just above the line. It's
Okay.
almost like a continuation.
Okay, yes. So I think that it was just placed maybe in an area that probably shouldn't have been. You should not have a line there if it's placed correctly. So it's probably a little bit of filler here and a little bit of filler back here. They might have went too deep when they did their injection. And that can all be corrected too. So if it's a hyaluronic acid, we have enzymes that we can dissolve those little areas, still preserve your lips or wherever you've been injected, but then just kind of do cleanup around, just kind of dissolve a little bit that has migrated or that might have been placed in the wrong plane of the tissue.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. What about the long-term risks that people should know about? Are there any?
Not that I know of. Long-term risks, like again, there's the migration, but when we talk about long-term, that would be over like probably over 3 months. Usually acute time is up to 3 months. After 3 months is kind of considered long-term. You can get a vascular occlusion. It's usually immediate or within a couple of days after an injection. And what that is when you get filler injected. Some of it might be up against a vessel, a blood vessel, or maybe in a blood vessel you might have injected in. And what happens is it basically clogs the flow of blood to the tissue, and that's called a vascular occlusion. We have seen these occur months after injection, which is very odd. Like, so it has to be migrating for that to happen. Why didn't it happen initially when we first did the treatment? That is a later complication that can occur, but is very, very rare. As far as Botox, I can't really see that there would be any complications, except for I do have a couple of clients that have been getting Botox for years and now it doesn't work anymore for them. They've
Oh.
probably built up antibodies, they're resistant to it, and we can just put all the units in their face that we think they need, and it was some of them will take it, and they'll have a little bit of a treatment for maybe a week or two, and then I have one that's it doesn't even work, period. I put so
Wow.
much toxin in her face. We're like, we're gonna get these lines, and it just doesn't work for her. Doesn't work.
Wow.
It's frustrating because she's been treating herself for years, and now she's without the ability to treat. So it's
Right.
kind of scary in my field.
Yeah, that's interesting. Are you able to try different? I'm sure you've done all the things, like try the different types and.
Yes, I've tried six all FDA approved six toxins in the United States. Plus, we tried another one that is a different type of botulism. It's not used for cosmetic purposes, it's used for therapeutic purposes. It's a total different type of botulism type. And that did work for about 4 weeks. And we were very excited. And then it started to wear off. So we're
Wow.
just waiting for another product to come out on the market soon so that she can try again.
Yeah, absolutely. So another question is, or I guess misconception, maybe myth or maybe truth, is that people get addicted to Botox and fillers. So what is it that people are getting addicted to, or is this just a myth?
It's real. It's called body dysmorphia, and it is a real thing. We see it not a lot, but we do see it in our spas. And what that is women and men, they get used to looking great and they think they need more. They think that adding more is going to make them look better when it's totally opposite. Adding more is going to make them look fake, make them look unnatural. And so sometimes we have to kind of talk them off the ledge and say, listen, I know how you're feeling. You feel you need more, but let's look at your before pictures when you first started coming in the spa. And now look at you. You don't need any more, or else you will not look natural. So it is a real thing, and we do see it.
I was going to ask if you took before pictures. That's really
Oh, yes.
smart because then you're able to show the client their progress. I remember back in when I first started tanning, I was in my 20s and someone that I knew was just like addicted to it. And she was literally orange and she would go every single day. And we had to tell her that, you need to stop because you look like leather. And it wasn't until she saw a photo of herself that she like saw it. because she would look at herself every day and she didn't see herself like that. So it's interesting. Yeah, too much of a good thing isn't always a good thing.
Right. Yeah. And that's how did she finally stop?
Yeah,
Stop
she
with the
finally
canning?
stopped. She started going less frequently.
Okay.
And yeah, she just thought she needed to be darker, I guess. I don't know. Or she couldn't see it on herself. And we live in a community, it's mostly white people. So she's around all these very, very light skinned people in the wintertime, and she stood out very much so, let's just say.
Well, one thing too, if someone just feels like they need more product, or we'll introduce like an energy-based device, so like a laser or an IPL or microneedling, and say, let's work on the tone, the texture of your skin, and that will help improve along with your Botox and fillers. And so by
Right.
combining those modalities, that can really help them feel like they're doing something, they're making progress, and it is nice for them to add that, because Botox alone only fix the wrinkles. It doesn't fix the skin texture and the tone. So
Okay.
this is something that I suggest to some of my clients that feel like they need more.
Yeah, that's really smart. Can Botox, so we talked a little bit about this, but is there any other ways that Botox and fillers can be part of self-care rather than vanity? Like, do some people only come in for the self-care part of it, or is it mostly for vanity?
I'd say self-care. Our spa, our area boomed during COVID. I think we talked about this. I heard so many times new clients would come in and say, "Yeah, I want to get Botox." And I'll say, "Okay, have you had it before?" "No, but when I was on my Zoom call," because everybody was getting on Zoom calls, right, during that time because they were staying
Yeah.
home. I got on my Zoom call. I did not like how I looked. I looked angry. I looked mad. I looked like I didn't want to be there. So I hear a lot of that. It's not so much vanity. It's I don't want my husband, or I don't want my coworker to think that I'm angry or I'm tired or I'm upset. I want to look refreshed. I want to look like I had a really good rest the night before, and I'm ready to hit my day going forward. I hear that a lot. So I do have some that are vanity, and those are probably the ones that have that body dysmorphia. It kind of goes hand in hand. But the
Yeah.
majority of our clients are the ones that want to come in and they just want to look rested. Because I mean, I feel like we're all tired. We're all going, going, going. It's the rat race, and a way to really raise your brows and just help with just overall feeling inside as well is treating yourself to a little bit of Botox to just kind of lift all those lines and just make you feel more alive, more rested and youthful.
What about for people who struggle with the dark circles under their eyes? What can you do for them?
Yeah, so it depends on what it is caused by. So what I do is I'll do like a skin test. I'll pull their skin down and I'll see if the skin is actually bluish, if it's actually a darkened skin underneath. If it is, one thing that we can do is do like a under eye peel, which will kind of help lighten that area. We can use hydroquinone that helps lighten skin as well. So there's some ways of doing that. If it's not a skin issue, if the color of the skin is the same here as it is here, then it's more of a hollow issue. And I'll have them look down and I'll look and see if they have what we call tear troughs. And tear troughs is just where we lose a little bit of collagen, and then sometimes the fat pads you've seen in older people, they kind of protrude out. That's
Yeah.
because we've lost that collagen there. A way to treat that is we can do radio frequency to help tighten the skin. But one of the things that we do most in our spa is PRP Dermagel or filler. And what we'll do is we will put in filler right under the eye with a cannula. It's like not sharp on the end, it's dull, so it's very safe to go around the eye. And we will lay that foundation there to help fill in that concaveness. PRP Dermagel is really cool. It's been out not that long. You draw blood from your patient, you spin it in a centrifuge, you pull out the poor platelets, and then you keep the the rich platelets, you put that aside, take the poor platelets and you heat it up. When you heat it up at 100 degrees, it breaks the hydrogen bonds and makes it into a gel. So once you have that gel made, you can stick it in a cool bath, cool it down, and then mix it with the platelet rich. When you do that, you get about 5 syringes of filler. So if you're buying 1 syringe of filler, that's pretty expensive. But to have 5 for close to the price of 1 is a pretty good deal. The difference is when you're doing PRP Dermagel, it actually stimulates your own collagen because it's PRP, it's platelet-rich plasma. And there's 7, 8 growth factors that just flourish in the area that you inject, and they help stimulate your own tissue, your own collagen to remake more collagen and elastin. And then because it's a gel, it's kind of an instant gratification, like a filler. So you're going to get that volume for a little bit, and then you're going to notice in a couple of days it kind of deflates and it's sad. But then over about 60 to 90 days, your body's going to regenerate new tissue and it's going to help fill in that area. So it's a great treatment and it's natural.
Oh wow. So you're using your own blood from your body to retreat your system.
Right. Yeah. Your own blood. And one of the misconceptions, myths with that is people think that we're mixing it with stuff to make this. It's not, it's all your blood. We can do all of that with your own blood, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I love that. Are there any myths that like just bother you so much that I haven't asked you about that you want to bring up and talk about?
Gosh. Yeah, every day there's a story. I wish I would have made a list of them because we'd be laughing all night about some of the things that have said and said. I can tell you, I did have a client, this was a long time ago when I first started my spa. I did have a client come in, and like I said, I take before pictures always, always. And I did some filler on her, and then about a month later, she came back and she said that I made this permanent scar on her face from it. And I was devastated. I would never ever try, I wanted her to look,
That'd be the last thing you would
the
do.
best.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I was. So I said, okay, let's pull up your before pictures. Well, before I even touched her for the first time, she had that scar there. So it's funny,
Oh.
people think that you did things to them because you touched their face, you injected them, and then they'll find it in the mirror the next day. It's the weirdest thing. They'll be like, I didn't have that, and they did have it.
Wow, that's interesting. I think it goes a lot because I think there's so many misconceptions about it, and they probably start like looking around, asking questions, and then like people start like people who don't know about it give them unsolicited advice, and then it makes them paranoid. But that's interesting. I guess that's why taking the before picture is so important.
Yes, it is very important. Yeah, it saved me a couple of times.
No kidding. No kidding. Oh my gosh. So, what is your message to someone out there listening who is really curious about it, but they're really hesitant to try?
Again, just read up on it. Go on some sites that, like, if there's a plastic surgeon's office or a medical spa in your area, go on their website and just read and just learn about it. And you can also go on, there's all kinds of Facebook, like groups. You can go on there and read about people's experiences. I think that's really good. And then consultations should be free. They're not always wherever you go, but find a place that maybe you'll do a free consultation and go in and talk to the provider about your concerns and get a full consultation. But make sure that where you go, they can do injectables. They are advanced provider, nurse practitioner, doctor, PA. Make sure that they have a lot of experience and they know what they're talking about if they are very busy in their practice.
So injectables are the only way to get successful treatment with Botox and fillers.
Well, successful treatment with Botox and fillers is only injectable, but again, we can do the other modalities like I talked about, like laser, radiofrequency, microneedling. So there's always other options that may be more natural. And I do talk to my clients about let's try this modality first because it is more natural and you're hesitant to jump right into Botox and fillers.
Right.
Let's try this. And then when you start to get comfortable getting your treatments, your facials, then we can start looking at maybe adding Botox or adding some cheek filler down the road.
Right. Yeah, just starting out, testing the waters a little bit. And next thing you know, they're going to be coming up to you and saying, I'm ready. Let's do it. Shoot me up.
And that does happen. Yeah, it really does happen. I have a lot of new clients that come in, and I'm very careful about being conservative the first time I see them. I don't load them up with injectables. I say I'm low and slow. They can always come back in a week or two, and we can reevaluate and add more. You just can't subtract it very easily. Definitely can't
Yeah.
subtract Botox, but fillers we can, like I said, dissolve. But it's always good when someone's doing it for the first time, just go really low, slow, natural. But let them know that if they're not happy with their treatment, we can always add more, but just to be conservative. And I think more than not, my new clients appreciate that, and they come back because they can trust me at that point, that I'm not just there for for the business.
Right. Lastly, what about the needle part of things? There's people out there who are terrified of needles, and especially when it comes to like around the eyes and those really delicate, sensitive areas. Two questions. Does it hurt? And what do you do with those people who are really determined, but they're terrified of needles?
It's funny. I have a friend who she has tattoos all over her. She has piercings all over her. And the first time I gave her Botox, she cried.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, wow. And I do notice a lot of men that come in, they are the most squeamish. Like they're very, very nervous about getting injections. So in those cases, they'll ask, does it hurt? And I'll say, well, not really. It's just a little pinch. It is a needle. I do have to break the skin, but it's a little pinch. And I tell people this, I have so many clients that keep coming back. So it's not that bad. We can always use ice to help kind of numb the area right before. We do have a really good lidocaine gel that we can use. But getting Botox is so quick. Like I think the faster the better, because then the patient isn't sitting there like going, okay, I'm ready for this to be
Yeah, it's not
over.
like you're holding the needle and like slowly putting it
Slowly
in.
torturing them, right?
Yeah, like the dentist does when you get a freezing. I feel like they're like holding that needle in forever.
Yes, I agree.
Tormenting.
So there's ways there. We have like little buzzers. We can put a little buzzer on your chest to kind of, it's a distractor. Again, I said ice, lidocaine, stress balls, good music, calming music. And my biggest thing that I do, and this really helps, is I'm a chatty Cathy. I will talk and talk and talk and talk and talk while I'm injecting, and then I'll be done, and they'll say, "You're done already?" Because it just
Wow.
takes their mind, from thinking about the needle. But it's not like it's just a little pinch. It's not even as bad as getting like a tetanus shot. That hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts. Yeah.
My cat digs her nails into me sometimes, and I almost
Oh.
wonder, I'm like, that's probably more painful than getting a Botox injection.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree. And then with filler too, the needles are a little bit bigger when we inject with filler, but we always use the lidocaine gel, or we'll inject with some lidocaine to numb the area, and so it's pretty comfortable.
And then around the eye, you said you use a really dull needle.
It's a cannula. It's not even sharp on the end, and it's long, so I can go in here and put the cannula in here, and I decrease the risk of bruising and nicking a vessel. So it's nice. It's really safe to use around the eye area, because there's a lot of little blood vessels around the eye, and so it's easy to bruise people there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Thank you so much for answering all these questions and these myths and talking about filler and Botox and everything in between. Can you tell us more about what you do as a whole and where people can find more information about you?
Sure. Yeah. I started my spa 8 years ago. I'm in Fort Myers in Punta Gorda, Florida. We have about six injectors, 14 employees, and we love doing Botox and filler. We also have laser devices, like I talked about, microneedling, skin tightening. We have an esthetician. We have two, actually. And we have a cosmetic tattoo artist. We are open 6 days a week, and we are on the web www.sweetspotmedispa.com on Instagram and Facebook, TikTok. Oh my goodness, it just keeps going on, right? And then I just started my own podcast, Glow Up and Get Real. We're on YouTube and Apple, Spotify, iHeart. So I talk about things like this on my podcast if you want to know more.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here. Is there any last minute things you want to leave the audience with today?
Yes, I would say if you are looking for treatments, you've never had treatments before, or if you have, keep it natural. Keep it natural. Don't overdo it. Go slow and slow, like I talked about. Make sure you know who you're going to and that they have great reviews and they are experienced and licensed. That is so important because if they are not licensed and they're doing this in the back of a car, in the back of a van, they probably don't know how to treat you if you have an issue. If you have something that comes up that's unexpected, you need somebody that knows what to do in case there's an emergency. So,
Yeah, absolutely. I second that. Thank you so much for being here today, Amy.
thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yes, and to our audience, low and slow, like Amy said, try it out, see how it feels. It's really nice to feel good in your body and look at yourself in the mirror and really like what you see. So hit Amy up and see what she can do for you. Until next time, take care, everybody.